Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sermon text comes from the gospel lesson, Luke chapter 18, beginning at verse 18. A certain ruler asked Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus asked him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, God. You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "I have kept all these since I was a child," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the ruler heard these words, he became very sad, because he was very rich. When Jesus saw that the man became very sad, he said, "How hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard this said, "Then who can be saved?" He replied, "What is impossible for people is possible for God." This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, on October 9th, 1903, the New York Times published an article in which they said that it would take the combined and continuous efforts of mathematicians and mechanics from 1 million to 10 million years to make a flying machine. On December 17th, 1903, just 2 months after this article was published, the Wright brothers made their first controlled flight, lasting only 12 seconds. But 12 seconds more than any human had done before. In just 12 seconds, what was thought to be impossible became possible. In our text for today, Jesus shows us that there is another impossible task around each and every one of us. It is made clear that following God's law is something that we cannot do. But here's the silver lining. We don't do it alone. Because of Jesus, the impossible becomes possible. Our text begins with a young man coming to Jesus to ask him a question. We don't get much information by the description that Luke gives us, but we know that he's young and he's some sort of ruler. It is most likely that he is a religious ruler, a Pharisee. He comes to Jesus because he has a question on his mind. And he asks Jesus, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now that's a loaded question. First, he calls Jesus good teacher. But we'll look into that a little bit more when we hear Jesus reply. So for now, let's focus on the rest of the question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We saw earlier that this man was most likely some sort of Pharisee. And the Pharisees knew their Bibles. They knew their Old Testaments. They knew the laws that God had given to their ancestors. And they were very conscious about keeping them. They were so conscious, in fact, that they made a safety net of laws around God's law to ensure that they would not break it. An example of this would be, God commands that you do not work on the Sabbath. Well, what constitutes work? So the Pharisees came up with a law that said you must not exceed this number of steps on the Sabbath day. If at the end of the day your step counter was over that set number, you were in violation of the third commandment and guilty of breaking God's law. Now this young man was confident that he had kept all of God's law, but he still felt like there was something missing. Otherwise, he would not have asked Jesus this question. But if the young man had truly understood what God's law was, he would not have been so confident. He saw the law as a means to gain eternal life. While we know that the law is not there to coddle us and assure us of our salvation, no, the law makes us quite aware of the opposite. It makes us aware that we can't follow it. Jesus answers the man's question, but not in the way that he expects at all. Jesus says, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except one, God. His answer revealed something about the man's heart. Jesus' answer shows us that the man did not believe that Jesus was God. Jesus was, in his mind, simply a man who knew how to please God, a prophet, or perhaps some other man of God. Remember that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were all about good works. And the rich young man saw Jesus as a man who would be able to take his works up to the next level, so to speak. Jesus' answer indicates that the young man did not see Jesus as God, but simply as a man. Jesus, knowing what the rich man's answer was going to be to his question, wanted to show him that no sinner is good. Only God is good. Already, Jesus shoots down the man's thoughts about himself in order to drive a wedge into his line of thinking. Jesus goes on, "You know the commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." Do you notice the similarities in the commandments that Jesus points out? They are all from the second table of the law. They all have to do with how we treat our fellow man. These are commandments that make it very easy to justify that you have kept them. These are commandments that people can fact check about you. They can look at a person and go, "Well, that there, that's a righteous man. He always honored his father and mother. He never stole a thing in his life. He's never given false testimony. He's never caused harm to another person." You see the point. This list gave the young man the opportunity to claim that he had kept God's law. But Jesus, as he always does, shows the man exactly where he falls short. Jesus says, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Despite the confidence of the young man, despite being a religious leader, despite thinking that he is a moral pillar in his community, Jesus shows him that he fell flat on his face when it came to the very first commandment. He put his love for wealth over his love for God. And when he couldn't do what Jesus asked of him, when he couldn't set that idol aside to follow Jesus, our text says he became very sad. Can you imagine what was going through the mind of this young man? He was probably expecting Jesus to give him a couple extra good works just to bump up his righteousness a little bit. And instead, he gets shown that he's never really been keeping the law at all. Very sad, the Greek term that's used for very sad in this verse, is the same word that's used when Jesus is talking to his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus says, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch." You can understand why the young man feels this way when Jesus just shattered his entire view of the law and himself. How often are we lacking in the same way that this rich young man was? Jesus told him to go and sell all that he had because his wealth was the thing that was getting in the way of him loving God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. Now I ask you, my brothers and sisters, what would Jesus have told you to abandon? Would he have told you the same thing that he told this man? To abandon all your earthly possessions? Would he have told you to stop prioritizing your job over him? Would he have told you to stop prioritizing your family over him? When we take some time and reflect on this, it is easy for us to throw up our arms and ask the same question that those around Jesus asked. Then who can be saved? But Jesus answers that question for us too. What is impossible for people is possible for God. On our own, we have as good of a chance of getting into heaven as we do getting that camel through the eye of the needle. The camel being the largest animal that someone living in Israel would have seen, and the eye of a needle being the smallest opening. The point is, on our own, we can't. We are sinners. We are always messing up and falling short of the glory of God. There is no way we can do it ourselves. It is truly, in every sense of the word, impossible. But thanks be to God, we aren't on our own. We have Jesus. And Jesus makes the impossible possible. That's why he came down from heaven. That's why he lived under the law and fulfilled it perfectly. Because we couldn't. Jesus was tempted in every way that we were. He was offered wealth, power, all the things that we struggle with day after day. And yet he beat those temptations. He suffered and died on the cross so that eternal life would no longer be impossible for us. When God looks at us now, he doesn't see our sin. He doesn't see every time that we have broken the commandments. Because God looks at us through our mediator. God looks at us and he sees Christ. He sees the perfection of our Savior clothed on us like a spotless white robe. Whereas before we were wearing nothing but filthy rags. It is only through what Christ our Savior did for us that we inherit eternal life. That is the final answer to the young man's question. Is all this impossible for humans? Absolutely. There is no way that we could do this ourselves. Is it impossible for Christ? No way. Jesus did it all. He did it for you and me. And his promise to that rich young man, he promises to us as well, we will have treasure in heaven. So rejoice. Christ Jesus makes the impossible possible. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds focused on Christ Jesus. Amen.